Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Marnie, and welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. Excited to have you with us this afternoon for a show that we're calling LinkedIn Christian, How to Be a Beautiful Warrior on LinkedIn. Our guest today is Tina Yeager, the author of Beautiful Warrior. And Tina has gained over 11,000 connections on LinkedIn. And during this hour, we're going to talk about how you can stand out from other profiles at LinkedIn, how to embrace your value as a Christ-centered brand and identity there, how to use simple strategies to decide how best to set up your page, how to quickly grow your connections, populate other profiles which present brands similar to yours, how to pitch to media directly on LinkedIn, set your content to post on LinkedIn so your feed offers value to your connections, set reasonable boundaries, and overcome any negative thought patterns to present yourself successfully on LinkedIn. Tina Yeager is an award-winning author of the book Beautiful Warrior, Finding Victory Over the Lies Formed Against You. She's a licensed counselor, speaker, life coach, and flourishment podcast host, and she's also the publisher of Inspirations Online. Welcome to you, Tina.
Thank you, Marnie. I'm so excited to be here with you and your guests.
Well, I'm excited to have you here and got to meet you face-to-face earlier this year, which was really fun before COVID set in. So that was awesome. and I love what you do and how God flows his love through you in such a gentle, calming, beautiful way. I just love your style.
Why, thank you, Marnie. I love your style, too. You're so good at encouraging and uplifting other people.
Well, I was excited to invite you on today. I had noticed you're one of our featured speakers at WomenSpeakers.com. And, of course, we love sharing you with the planners that visit the site. But I had noticed over at your LinkedIn profile that you had over 11,000 connections, which is that's kind of a challenging thing to do. It's not so tough to get to 500, but 11,000 is a lot of connections. So I reached out to you. We're doing kind of a series on social media and how to increase our visibility there for the glory of God. And so I wanted to bring you on today with this Christian perspective, and your book is Beautiful Warrior, and it's the subtitle is Finding Victory Over the Lies Formed Against You. I think a lot of us get kind of confused about social, about what role it's supposed to take in our lives, about how much we're supposed to invest in it, about a lot of things, who we're supposed to be on it. And so as we go through the hour, I'm excited to address some of these lies, maybe that we've been believing about that, and to expose the truth and some things that we can do as God lovers and beautiful warriors to share what the mission and the passion that God's put in our hearts through social channels like LinkedIn. So thank you again for being here. And I wanted to dive in first with how to make your profile stand out from other profiles. And we're going to get through a lot of stuff like I went at the first, but this is where we got to start, is with that profile set up, how to think about that.
Exactly. You need to know who you are as a brand, and sometimes that's the hardest thing that we can do in business, no matter what our business is. Know who you are and be able to present yourself with integrity. You want to make sure you show your best, but you also want to be honest about who you are. How are you different from other people out there, and how are you meeting a need? That's the most important thing. How are you meeting a need? And on LinkedIn, how are you meeting a need in the marketplace? Why will people want to be connected with you? Think about the needs of the other people who are going to be on LinkedIn. These are people who are looking to employ or connect or network. how are you helpful with that? How are you helpful at getting them to be better at what they do? How are you going to introduce them and network them with other people? So think about that. Think about yourself as a Christ follower, that we are about fellowship. That is one of the things that we do in the body of Christ. So this is not just shameless self-promotion. This is actually part of God's command to go out and be fishers of men. So you're out there where people spend most of their time, and that's in the workplace. So being able to stand out by saying, this is who I am, and this is what I do, and this is how I do what I do. So giving a sense of your style and your personality on that page with the pictures that you post, with the things that you say about yourself by describing yourself in a unique way. Talk about your personality and the way that you lead, the way that you share what you do with others. Are you compassionate? Are you dynamic? What are some of the things that you can add that people are looking for? And make sure that you're checking other profiles. If you look at other profiles, you can kind of see what successful people are adding. Consider that, and then add something unique of your own to that mix.
So when you're thinking about that profile, are you putting that part, who I am, what I do, and how I do what I do, are you putting that part up right in kind of that early description, or is that down in your bio section, or where are you actually accomplishing that particular thing?
Both of those places. And you also want to put it in your list.
Sorry, we dropped you there for just a second, Tina. And you also want to put it where?
You also want to put it in the list of the things that you've done, because there's a place in the profile to show all the things that you've been involved in, your volunteer activities, the places you've published articles. All of those things can give people a sense of who you are and how they can get to know you before they've even met you.
So what makes it stand out from other profiles then is really, I mean, it's that combination, who I am, what I do, but it's really a lot about how you do what you do. It's about the personality and the style that you bring to it, because a lot of people are doing similar things, obviously. You know, a lot of people are managers, or a lot of people are speakers or whatever. So it's how you're doing what you're doing that's going to be the distinction. Am I right on that?
Exactly. There is a lot of storytellers out there. Are you a psychological storyteller? That's something I put on my profile at one point. And so things that you can think of that are unique and creative ways to describe yourself that might be a little unexpected and give people a chance to say, oh, I never thought about doing it that way. That's interesting. Let me look at that.
You call yourself the Flourishment podcast host and a publisher of Inkspirations Online. Do you feel like phrases like that help set you apart?
Well, because people are going to be looking for opportunities to be a guest on a podcast, they may want to connect with me and share with me opportunities for us to network and broadcast one another's stories and one another's platforms. So those are things that help, and being a publisher also helps because people are looking for opportunities to get publishing done and may be looking for just an inspirational place to go read. So those are things that are addressing the needs of what people are looking for.
So instead of your bio saying a licensed counselor, speaker, life coach, a podcast host, and publisher, you include Flourishment podcast host. And you include publisher of Inkspirations Online to help, again, to differentiate you from all the other podcasts and all the other publishers. So as you guys are thinking through how you can make your profile unique, you want to be thinking through, well, what makes you unique as a blank, whatever it is that you do? How is it that you do that differently? I love this. So next we want to kind of start here at the beginning of the hour. We want to start with how to embrace our value as a Christ-centered brand and identity. And I have to be honest with you that I've had some people, not very many, I've had some people say, you know, I really don't see very many other people on LinkedIn sharing as many Bible verses or memes with God's name in them as you do. And I've always been just perfectly okay with that, that that is not maybe the majority of people. And that is one of the ways that I just embrace my Christ-centered brand and identity, is I simply live out who I am in the same way that a basketball coach would always and forever be using basketball analogies. It would make sense for him to do that, even if the majority of people on LinkedIn don't. So as you address this, Tina, help us to understand how you thought about this in order to be able to be who you are, all these things, counselor, speaker, coach, podcast host, publisher, all these things from a Christ-centered brand and identity.
Well, part of that is, again, knowing what people actually need and being able to speak to that. And when we as Christians have integrity about who we are and what we have to share, then we are representing Jesus by reaching out with what people really are seeking and empty of and looking for. And we need to do that in a way that's respectful, but yet shows dignity and shows integrity toward ourselves as Christ-centered brands. And a Christ-centered brand doesn't necessarily mean that you are a Christian, you're a preacher. It doesn't necessarily mean that. You can be a retailer and still have a Christ-centered brand. If you look at Altered State, that would be an example of a Christ-centered brand. They carry a lot of Christ-centered products, and yet they reach out into audiences that may be seekers. And so they keep that connection open by being respectful, but they're not hedging at all on who they are and what they represent and what they offer. So we make sure that we are being positive with the things that we offer and the things that we encourage from our Christ-centered point of view, so that we are inviting people that are on LinkedIn to come and see why we have serenity. Come and see why we may have the keys to flourish in life. So they know that we have some things that are Christ-centered and Christian and faith-based, but we're also presenting things that might be of interest to them and aren't going to be delivered in a way that's judgmental or that creates walls with them.
I love that. And businesses I'm thinking of include Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A. They aren't a church. You know, they're totally not doing like Chick-fil-A. You know, they're serving chicken food. And so, yet, at the same time, they have this reputation. Their brand and identity is clearly Christ-centered as an organization. And they carry that through in what they do and how they share and just their desire for excellence. So as you do this now, for you personally, do you share quite a bit of religious type, I hate to use that word, God-centric posts, or are you mostly sharing posts that are business related?
I'm mostly sharing what I have on my Flourishment podcast, which can be either. And so there will be a little mix of that. But when my Inspirations posts go on there, those are all very faith-oriented. So anybody that reads that is going to know for sure that we are centered on Scripture. So some of it is, and some of it is kind of more seeker-friendly, but most of it has a center in Christian principles and Christian values.
You actually have a simple strategy you want to share with us today about how to decide how to best set up our pages. So what is that?
Okay. So one of the things that you're going to do is look at other profiles, which is another point a little later on. So I'm going to tie that into this one, that are similar in brand to yours. Look at that and see how they've described who they are, what they do, their bio, and what kinds of things they've listed. And kind of use those as a template, because if you can look at who is successful, that can help you start. You're not going to copy them word for word, because that wouldn't be beneficial to you either. But you want to look at those things. So set up your page with a really great professional picture. Make sure that you've got a bio that includes some of the keywords that people are looking for, and that would be those basic things like, I'm a speaker, I'm a podcast host, I'm a life coach, I have so many years of experience with this, this, and this. So setting those things on your page. And then you want to also make sure that you've indicated on there where you're published. Make sure you put places where you're leaving your blog and connect those to your LinkedIn page to make sure that they're automatically posting. And those kinds of things to set up your page and using words that are going to be just tweaked enough to be creative and interesting on your page, that is going to help you have a very successful, quick way to set up your LinkedIn page. It's not created for people who are technological geniuses. It's created for everyday business people to be able to set these up. So,
I love that. And that's a principle, that's a strategy that I encourage you to use across all of your brands or across all of your channels, your social channels. As you're looking to set these up, go and see what other people are doing, especially people who are ahead of you on the journey. The word mentor, you can be mentored in like 12 different ways, so many different ways that a person can mentor you. But all mentorship means that someone is farther along on that part of the journey than you, in that leg of life than you are, and you can learn from them, and they can mentor and model good behaviors, best practices for you. And I encourage you to do that across all of your channels. And again, that works really great at LinkedIn and just simplifies that for you too. So growing your connections, do you remember when you joined LinkedIn, how long ago it's been?
I don't remember. I do remember that it grew very, very quickly from a couple thousand to 5,000 to 10,000. And now it's over 11,000 and almost at 12 at this point. So it begins to snowball. Every social media site is like that. Once you hit a certain tipping point, everybody wants to be your friend. Maybe 50 or 60 friend requests or connection requests every day. And you have to filter through those, of course. But the way that you begin to grow is you look at people who are in types of brands that would be beneficial for you to network. And you can send a message to them when you ask to connect and talk about their page, talk about what they're doing, and tell them why you want to connect. Those early connections, because your numbers are low in the beginning, are going to need to know why you are of value to them. So talk about, praise them, just like you would anybody that you're meeting the first time. I see that you are involved in Christian women's ministry. I'd love to be connected and see if we can serve as a resource to one another. And then you put that there. Or I'd love for you to be able to access my blog, and I'd like for us to be a connection. You look like someone who's serving God the way that I want to serve God, so I would like to be connected with you on LinkedIn. So something like that that praises and uplifts the person that you're trying to connect with in a message. And you won't need to do those messages every single time, but at the beginning, that'll be very helpful to develop some early connections. And once you connect with somebody, there's an opportunity with LinkedIn to connect with their connections. And you can pop through their window of people that you might also want to be connected with. Go through and look at each one of those and try to connect with them. You may not need to put an extra message on those because you're already connected with someone they're connected with, and they're more likely to respond with a yes because you have a mutual connection. And you can begin with one, and with all their mutual connections, you can end up with 20 more.
So did you go ahead and upgrade to the paid level, or are you at the free level with LinkedIn?
I was at the paid level for a period of time, and then I just recently bounced back down because I didn't feel like I needed it anymore. When you're in the middle of a book launch, it can be helpful to be at the paid in level because you can get a better sense of being able to connect with emails directly that way, and there's a lot more things that you can do. But if you're not currently in a campaign, you may not need that level.
Right. So I think that's about, is it about 50 a day that you can reach out to at the free level? Do you know?
I don't know. I actually don't know what the limits are on that, but I get so many requests every day that I'm just responding to those.
You don't need to reach out. You're just busy.
No, not unless I
yes
am pitching. If I'm pitching to media, I do.
Yes, Right. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Let's keep talking about this quickly growing your connections. So one of the things I really love at LinkedIn is when someone asks you to connect, they come into your, they find you and they say, I want to connect with you. LinkedIn has this wonderful thing where they give you 12 now, I believe it is, it may be 15, but it's a certain set of people that they're connected with that LinkedIn pulls up your algorithms and says, you might like to connect with these people. And so it's right exactly under where your incoming connection requests are. And I have found that to be a super easy way to just expand my sphere into places to connect with people that really otherwise I don't know that I would have ever found them, Tina. That's how I feel about it. I probably only get to click on a quarter to one third of those to ask for connections because a lot of them are just not my, target connections. So how about for you? Are you using that tool?
I used that a lot at first. I'm not using that quite as much, but I use it a little bit now. I like to look at certain organizations, too, that you can follow, and then you can find people that are connected with those organizations. Say you want to be connected with Samaritan's Purse or the Billy Graham Foundation or one of those kinds of organizations. If you go to the site on LinkedIn for that, you can also find people that work there, and you can ask to connect with them. So that's another way that you can grow connections that you know are parts of organizations you want to be affiliated
sure.
with.
Wow, I love that idea. I hadn't ever done that, and I'm jotting a whole list immediately just off the top of my head of organizations that I could check into for that. That's a great idea. One of the things before we move off of quickly growing your connections, you may be tempted to just say yes to every single person who asks you to connect. And Tina, I'm going to let you share your perspective on that in a moment, but I'll just start. My perspective is that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to establish my LinkedIn algorithm to the point that people who are like-minded with me, I will come up all the time for them, because that's who connects with me, are people that are like-minded with me. And so because of that, I have chosen to specifically not accept a lot of the people who want to connect with me, and a lot of the people who are coming up in the auto feeds still, they're the best connections LinkedIn can find from that person for me, but not necessarily the best connections for me. So I do consciously make decisions about that. And when I'm not sure, I just pray quick about it, and then either I pass it by or I accept it. And I don't really worry too much about it. It's very, very fast, but that's just where I'm at with it. Tina, how did you make that decision, and what decision did you make?
Well, at first I connected with everybody, and that was not wise. So when I say set reasonable boundaries in this list of things that I'm going to talk about, you do need to be more careful and judicious about who you accept a connection with than I was at the beginning. And here's why. People on LinkedIn can get your email address, and you will end up on someone's email list, whether you want to or not. So you need to be careful who can get into your email access, because there are many people on LinkedIn that are from a lot of foreign countries, and it's very difficult to legislate or come back against people who are from remote countries. So I'm very careful about connecting with people that I've never met, that I don't have mutual connections that I can trust, that I know that this person is connected through this organization, and I know them virtually online at least. If they are from a foreign country, or they have some kind of a questionable looking page, or they don't seem to have anything in common with me, I want to know why they're trying to connect with me. And some people on LinkedIn, strangely enough, are looking for a date. they are using it as a dating site, which is very strange to me that you would use a professional site as a dating site, but there are people who are doing that, and there are a lot of predators out there. So you do need to filter the people that you are allowing to connect with you on LinkedIn the way you would be careful with people connecting with you so they're not trolls on Facebook or anywhere else. I think you need to be especially careful on LinkedIn because of the access to your email address.
Right, right. Such a good point. And of course, one of the things that people from, especially men, for those women, most of us that are at this show are gals, and a lot of guys are trying to get into the U.S. Via a female companion that can help them to get a visa. So, like you say, you know, there's some cautions to take into consideration there. And it can sound like if you're unfamiliar with LinkedIn and you're just listening to this, kind of curious about it, it's much faster than it sounds. It's not like you have to take 20 minutes to vet every person who's, you can really see red flags almost instantly if there's either no connection or if there's a problem, you can usually identify that just really in a few seconds. And honestly, for you guys who are trying to either get connections or get speaking engagements or get media exposure or whatever, the red flag principle is huge. If you're applying to be a speaker at womenspeakers.com, which is the site I manage, and I see red flags, I am not going to approve your application. It's not going to happen. We have to be congruent. We have to be, we have to just look and be honest about who we are and what we're doing. And when you see somebody that isn't, you, in your heart, you kind of know that there, it's a red flag, and you know that. And for those kind of people, then you don't need to connect with them. And there's no rules.
Exactly.
You don't have to connect with anybody. You don't get penalized for not connecting with people.
Exactly. And if someone doesn't even have a profile picture, that's a red flag to begin with.
That's a red
showing.
Flag for me too. Yeah.
And someone says that they're involved in some kind of secret service agency. That's a red flag because they wouldn't be able to say that online. So just watch for those things that you know are probably not
true. Right. And if they don't have a photo, a lot of times it's just a person who's just setting up their account or something like that. And I know the organization. I know somebody that is. But otherwise, yeah, no photo is a big red flag. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about the next point that you wanted to talk about, was how to populate other profiles which present brand similar to yours. So have we covered that?
A little bit. I also want to say that you can go on LinkedIn and you can look at your alerts and you can see who is presenting the types of material and content that's relevant to what you do, and you can kind of connect and make comments on those things, and that can be the point at which you become connected or more integrally connected with those people. So making sure you respond to their comments, I don't always do that, to be perfectly honest, but it's a really great way when you're getting started to start making relationships with people and network really well on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And then the next one is how to pitch to media directly on LinkedIn. So I want to introduce this part by saying that LinkedIn is my go-to source for media guests when I have exhausted the pool of people that I already know. So I've looked through womenspeakers.com and I can't find the expert I need. And then I've thought through and looked through my relationships and I can't find the expert I need. And then I'm on LinkedIn and I'm looking for the person that's going to be able to train on the topic that needs training right now for our show. And LinkedIn is where I go to find guests like that. And so what you are going to talk to us about is how to reach out to media then directly on LinkedIn.
Exactly. And you can search for the types of media that you're looking for. You can do a search for radio show, TV show, podcast host. You can search for those things. You can search for Christian radio host. There are all kinds of searches you can do. When you pull them up, make sure you take the time to look at their profile. Find out what they do, maybe listen to one of their shows. Find out whether it looks like a good fit for your material or your expertise. And then when you send a message to connect with them, you want to make sure you include a message with these people. You don't just make a connection. You say that you noticed that they are promoting this kind of material. You love the way they do X. You make sure you open that with a praise for what you have seen them specifically doing. Make sure they can tell it's not a generic pitch, that you have actually looked them up and done your research, and you know them. You know them, you've followed them, you've looked at what they do. I loved your article on blank. Make sure that you have pulled up something specific on that person. And then say, I would love to connect with you and perhaps serve as a resource to your show or a guest. And then they can determine whether you look like, when they go to look at your profile, somebody that's going to be of benefit to them. But you need to be specific, you need to praise them, and you need to make sure you include that you are going to serve them, not that they are there to serve you. Don't make it look like an ask. Make it sound like an offer.
That's brilliant. Yeah. So are you doing this consistently? Do you do it a couple times a year? How do you pitch media?
I do it when I have something that I need to pitch, like if I have a book launching, I'll do it during that. I don't do it all year round because, frankly, I'm too busy to do it all year round. But when you have a book coming out or you want something where you want to get some extra media coverage or you're running short on interviews, that's a great way to get connected with new show hosts. And you can also, if you happen to be a podcast host, you can also offer to do something for them. Or if you have a blog, you can offer to showcase their show on your blog. Do something for them, and they're going to be more likely to respond well to you.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And how long, so one of the things that is becoming, it's changed during COVID, it changed the lengths of people's messages changed during COVID. People got really verbose and kind of overwhelming. How long is, I really am one that prefers short pitches, but some people prefer, and what I mean by a short pitch is that you have all of that you mentioned, you know, the personalization of the research that you've done. So they know that you're not just sending the same exact message to 2,200 people right this minute. You've personalized the message. You've offered to serve them in some way. You provide your information. And then I don't mind, like, under that, if you have like a dashed line and then you have all kinds of information below, because if I'm interested, I probably will keep reading. But that first part should be pretty succinct. So for you, Tina, what have you found? That's my opinion. I'm kind of a fast-paced person. So what have you found to be the most effective?
I think you should try the short pitch first, and then if they respond to that, you can give them more information, because people are too busy to read those long emails the first time. If they're interested, they will look you up and ask you for more, and they'll connect with you. You can direct them to a press kit or a media kit, and that would be a way to give them an opportunity to look at more in-depth information with a link without you having to put it in the message. And you really need to have a professional level of LinkedIn to get those really, really long emails and messages sent out. I think they limit how much you can send on the free plan, or at least they did before I did the professional, which I just ended a week ago.
Yeah. Well, even I know for me and working with the media for so many years, they are so busy that if you can't capture their attention in the first 10 to 30 seconds, really in 30 words, if you don't have them, they're gone. They're to the next one. So it's just important that you just start strong and you say it very succinctly. If you can do that for me in a pitch email, then I know you're going to be able to succinctly share your message in a live broadcast. And if you can't, then I believe that you're also going to get on the air and ramble. you know? So need to show them right up front that you are, you know what you're talking about, you know what you can do, you really love what they're doing, and can we, you know, how can we work together? So that's great. Any other thoughts about pitching to the media directly on LinkedIn?
I don't think there's anything else other than just making sure that you're following up with that. If you say that you're going to stay connected with them and you haven't connected with them yet, you might want to check out what's on their feed and make comments on it. That's another way that you can get back in if they didn't respond.
Yeah, yeah. And this is just, again, across all channels. If you're trying to develop a relationship, those likes and comments and shares, those really matter to the hosts of all of these platforms. And by you taking the time to make a comment and to click like or to click love or share, it does endear you to them because it matters. And of course, the bigger the channel is, the less likely they are to actually see you individually. But especially on mid to small size channels, you know, you'll definitely gain visibility by just doing that.
And you can start small. And then when you've been on some small shows, put those opportunities that you've had to do those shows on your LinkedIn profile. Show that you have experience as a guest, and that will help you when they are looking at your profile.
Yeah, excellent. So how do you set your content to post on LinkedIn so your feed offers value to your connections?
Think about what you have already that you're posting out there. Do you have articles that you post regularly on a shared platform? Like, for example, there are plenty of shared platforms, like a blog that's a collective blog a lot of people contribute to, or something like Medium.com or one of those kinds of places, or Crosswalk or any of those kinds of platforms where it's an online periodical or an online blog. Make sure that all of those articles are being set so that they post and share on LinkedIn on your feed. And that way people are seeing what you're doing on a regular basis. If you have a blog that you have on your own website, make sure that it's set so that it automatically posts that and shares that on your LinkedIn page. If your blog reflects the kind of people you want to connect with on LinkedIn, which it should because you should have integrity as a brand. So things that are on My Flourishment Broadcast are going to automatically share on LinkedIn. Things that are on Inspirations Online automatically share on LinkedIn. And when I'm regularly doing my blog, which I haven't been during COVID, but normally that would also get shared on LinkedIn. Making sure people see what you talk about and who you are helps them feel a sense of who you are as a person and as a brand. And they want to stay connected with you when they know you.
Right. And so for me, my podcasts show up on LinkedIn as well. And when I release a new video, that shows up on LinkedIn. And some Instagram and Pinterest, depending on what they are, some of them are very appropriate for LinkedIn. Those are individually decided. And same, he's trying to say vice versa. Some things I post on Instagram or on LinkedIn, I don't post on Instagram. It's just not the appropriate way. But a lot of what I do is cross-cultural on all of the channels or most of the channels so that it can show up there, which is really cool. And to automate those things really reduces the number of times that you have to touch each channel.
Exactly. Now, you do have to be careful if you're doing some things for your friends on Facebook that's just friends and family kind of information. That isn't the kind of thing that your people on LinkedIn are going to find of value. But if you're sharing content that gives people tips on how to live well or how to do their business more successfully or things that people are looking for on spirituality and peace and serenity and bridging gaps and things that are going on that are current events, kinds of things that you want to have on your content on your blog or in your articles, those would also be appropriate for LinkedIn.
Right. And I'm not sure, like some of what I do is automated when I know for sure it's going to work. Like every single one of my podcasts, my radio shows go onto all of my channels. But not all of my, like you said, not all of my Facebook or Instagram posts go onto all of my channels. So I have some things automated and other things I don't. But what I do is I have, so on your computer, you can open up a new, an entire new window that can sit under your, the current window that you're using. And it's kind of like if you think file cabinet, you have two drawers now. So you have one drawer and you've got some tabs open at the top, and then you have another drawer, another level, and that can have some tabs open on the top. So I keep my six channels, my six social media channels open on my second drawer, my second level there. And then I'm able to just quickly copy and paste a link. A lot of times I will find, I'll be listening to worship music as I'm working or whatever, and a song will just capture my heart and I'll just share that out. Or I'll come upon a news article or a training or a meme or something like that, and I can just quickly copy that URL, copy the address, the HTTP address from the top, and just posted across all my channels very quickly, like in less than 3 minutes. I've got it all the way across all of them that are appropriate for that particular thing. So just knowing that, automate what you can, and then for the rest of it, make it as easy as possible to post and to share.
Exactly. And as much as people see value that showing up, then you become an expert to the people who see you present that kind of material on LinkedIn, and that really helps you get connections too.
Right. Okay, so let's go back. We started on this one earlier, but let's go back about setting reasonable boundaries. And all of the social stuff can be a bottomless pit, actually. We all know people who have assistants who do this for them, either one channel or an assistant, or one assistant for all channels or an assistant per channel to manage these things. So we can spend a ton of time and resources on each or all of our social media channels. So as you're thinking about this, one thing is to consider how much investment you are going to make into these particular channels. So right now we're going to talk about setting reasonable boundaries at LinkedIn. And for every single one of you listening, it will be different from everybody else. Your own boundaries have to be your own before God, with you, with your family, with your business, with your ministry, whatever it is. This will be decisions you have to make. But Tina, let's talk about the different types of boundaries that we have to think about here.
Well, we need to think about emotional boundaries and making sure that you're not getting caught up in a bunch of negativity. LinkedIn is one of the few places where you're less likely to see that, so that's a good thing about LinkedIn. You also need to set time boundaries, how much time you're spending. And the good thing about LinkedIn is you can grow connections without spending as much time as you need to on some of those other channels. Twitter can be extremely time-consuming as far as keeping up with growing that particular network, and so can Instagram. But LinkedIn, with minimal amount of time, you can spend maybe 30 minutes a few days a week on it and grow a lot in a few weeks by just spending 30 minutes a few times a week. And then as you grow, you'll have that effect, that snowball effect, where you won't need to spend 30 minutes several times a week. You might spend 20 minutes once a week, and it'll still grow because you have momentum. So know that your initial investment does not have to equal your long-term investment on LinkedIn. And also know that you need to understand, is this the type of social network that's going to help my business, my platform grow? For LinkedIn, it really can be very helpful with multiple types of platforms and businesses because you can network. So look at what is going to be beneficial for you and limit your time so that you're not encroaching upon time that is very important, like family time, like your health, like your spiritual time. All of those things should always be higher in priority than spending time on social media. If you're staying up till 4 in the morning doing this, you have not set healthy boundaries for yourself. So make sure that you set some reasonable boundaries. Do not spend more than an hour a day on any social media. And that sounds crazy because everybody talks about how you need to be on it all the time, all the time, all the time. I think especially right now with all the things that's going on, you really need to take greater care in limiting your time that you spend on social media and any kind of media, and giving yourself a mental break from that blue light wavelength, which is detrimental if you get too much of it, and being careful that you are choosing to spend the time where it's beneficial. Limit how much time you can use a timer, and limit how many different people's feeds you're reading so that you're only reading things that are going to help you feel better. Don't read things that are super negative. That's a lot of rhetoric. You can end up seeing some political posts on LinkedIn. So limit the amount of negativity to which you expose yourself. So those things are really, really important. And make sure if someone is stalking you on your email address that you set boundaries with that and you block that and you don't engage with people that do those kinds of things as well. That's kind of an obvious one.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things you talked about, and there's two real different schools of thought here on this, plus everything in between, but on needing to be on it all the time, on your social all the time. And it's the same with your phone and your text. Do you need to be available to all people at all times in all places? So this is just a question you have to answer for yourself. And Tina, I can already tell that you and I are kind of on the same page with this. But if you're listening and you are like, yes, of course I have to. You know, if someone's texting me on my Facebook channel and they need information about my product or service, of course I have to immediately respond. And I just, I remember hiring. I actually had to hire a coach after we bought our restaurant, and I couldn't breathe. I was homeschooling our kids. I was running LemonSpeakers.com. I was still writing books and speaking, and I was so overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed, and I hired a coach, and she did this thing with me, and it helped me to understand how I had let the restaurant become too consuming. And I said, well, but when they need me, they need me. I mean, they'll call and they'll say things like, this is old now, but we can't get the cash register to work. You know, it won't work. So we can't check anybody out. Well, I felt like then, of course, I had to go over there and fix it. Otherwise, we couldn't do any business. And she just showed me that even in that situation, I had to choose. I got to choose. It was both a responsibility and a privilege to choose what I was going to do. Was I going to let every emergency completely overwhelm whatever it was that I had prioritized for those minutes or not? And as I began to actually apply that logic to it, that it was both a responsibility and a privilege to choose, then I would sometimes just say, do the best you can. You know, just use a notepad and a calculator and do the best you can until we get somebody from the house can get there. And I would keep doing what I was doing before then. And I just encourage you, if you have been the person who has felt very glued to your phone, you don't have to be. There's several of us who aren't, and it's okay. And God is helping us to grow large audiences without doing that and paying our bills without doing that. So just keep taking that back to Jesus and asking him, what should I do? Tina, do you have a follow-up comment on that?
That is such great wisdom, Marnie. You just sort of hit it on the head, the nail on the head there. I so agree with that. And I also want to say there might be seasons when you need to do more of that than others, but make sure it's a season and not a lifestyle. Like if you're in the middle of a book launch, you may end up having to spend a little bit more time on that than you normally would. Yep. I'm launching 2 online conferences this summer. I'm hosting them. So I'm a little more attached to my email than I would be normally.
Right.
But I don't make that a lifestyle. And I don't let that kind of thing interrupt or take over my quiet time. Because that, if I don't have that, I can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. I like to compare it to a new baby. When you have a new baby in your house, you're not getting good sleep. You're tired all the time. You're totally at the whim of this child's needs. You don't, you know, you don't get to decide when the baby's sick, when the baby needs to, you know, have a diaper change. All those things are just thrust on you because you're in that season. And that's how I think about seasons in business as well, in ministry, is that sometimes you're in that new baby season where it's just really consuming. It's really long hours. It's very exhausting, but it's what needs to be done. And then you're not always in that season. So that's kind of, Tina, I think to just clarify what you were saying there too, and you said it well, but just if you find yourself forever and always in new baby season with your ministry or business, something's wrong. You need to really pray that through, get alone with God and pray that through, and even get a coach and have them help you identify what you can either delegate or else eliminate for a season, for a reason, in order to be able to bring health and balance back into your life. And it doesn't have to be perfect balance all the time. There's no such thing. But it should be balanced like riding a bike where you're not always tipping over. It should be enough balance to keep you going long term. So the last thing we wanted to talk about then today was how to overcome negative thought patterns to present yourself successfully on LinkedIn and kind of globally overall in life for the glory of God. So maybe, Tina, this is kind of your book, Beautiful Warrior, Finding Victory Over the Lies Formed Against You. Where do these negative thoughts, like how do they get in there and how do we get them out?
Well, the negative thoughts all originate with the enemy of our souls, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal away the prosperity of the messages and the truths and the blessings and the giftings that we all have to share with other people. And he wants to kill God's potential that God has put in our hearts, our minds, our spirits from before we were born. And he wants to destroy our connections with our ability to feel that fulfillment and sense of purpose in life. So what he will attack us with more often than not is a combination of shame and pride, and he will try to go cyclically back and forth with guilting us for feeling prideful and shaming us for not feeling like we can do things that we should be able to do in the identity and significance of Christ. So sometimes we feel like we are being prideful when we're presenting ourselves in a positive light on social media. And that isn't the case. We are simply recognizing who we are in Christ, that we are called as ambassadors of Him, and that's where our significance comes from, our potential comes from. And we should never feel like that is wrong, to be able to be proud of who God made us to be in His power, in His image. So we can call ourselves by the names that He calls us by and not allow the enemy to put us down and say that we're not worthy, because Christ's blood says that we are worthy. Christ gave Himself for us, so that gives us worth and significance. We should not allow the enemy to attack us with the lie that we are not capable or competent to do the things that God is calling us to do, because God equips us as He leads us through those things. If we can do it on our own strength, we are looking at a too small dream. We're looking at a human-sized dream, not a God-sized dream. So He's always going to call us to things that we can't do. And He's happy when we admit to Him, Lord, I can't do this. He usually says, you're right. Why don't we do it together? Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do things that we can only do with His help. So recognizing that those are lies of the enemy, those lies about our potential, the lies about our identity, the lies about our worth, that can come from people, but it always originates with the enemy. And the enemy uses people sometimes unwittingly to attack us with shame lies about who we are and what we can do. He can also attack us with lies about pride, thinking that we need to have a certain number and we can get caught up with our numbers. He can attack us with pride about who we should look like or vanity or things like that, and just remembering that it's okay to just be real, and it's okay to start small, and it's okay to only minister to 5 or 10 people to start with, and those people are super significant and infinitely valuable to God. So making sure that you don't get caught up in those pride lies that the enemy tries to get you with, making you think you have to have a ministry that looks like something according to the world standards instead of something that is according to Jesus' standards. Because Jesus had a very humble-looking ministry at many points in his ministry on earth. And remember, he also slept. He wasn't trying to not sleep during that 3 years that he was on the earth doing ministry. He took breaks to go spend time with God. He took breaks to spend time with 2 or 3 friends instead of all of his disciples all of the time. So that is important to remember, giving ourselves the chance to have balance, being in healthy fellowship with people that will build us up, and making sure you make connections with those people on LinkedIn and elsewhere. But making sure that you're not allowing the enemy to get you with comparison traps or shame traps or pride traps or any of those things that he's going to distract you from who God says you are in the identity in Christ.
I love that. I love that. And I just, too, we're running out of time here, but I just, too, want to just encourage you that you have been created in the image of God himself, and you are his flow-through vessel. And when he does something amazing through you, don't hide it under a bush. He did it through you on purpose. He knew what he was doing when he gave you the skills that he gave you, when he gave you the relationships he gave you, when he put you on planet Earth right now in this season for such a time as this. And we need you to live fully who you are in Christ and not to let other voices take away your faith and your courage and your boldness. So step out and be who you are in Christ. Before we leave here today, Tina, where can people find out more about you?
They can go to my website, and it's very simple, tinayeager.com. That's the easiest place to find me, and that's YEAGER. And you can find my books there. You can access my podcast there. And there's links to everything that you might want to know about me there. And you can also connect with me on different social media sites, but that's all on my website too. So I hope that you can find out more about that. And I do have some conferences coming up, so I hope you'll come join us for a little she time or rebound your highest this summer in June and July, and that would be fantastic.
And those are online, is that correct?
Yes, those are virtual conferences, so you can come and join us from the comfort of your own home, and they're super inexpensive. You would spend more money going out to lunch with a friend.
Oh, so awesome. Tina, you're also available as a speaker over at womenspeakers.com in Florida, so you guys, if you check over there, you can see her right there too. Thank you so much. Thank you for your life, Tina, and thank you for being here today and joining us for this.
Thank you, Marnie. You were just such a blessing. I so appreciate you inviting me. I'm so honored.
Oh, well, thank you, and just loved what you had to share. And you guys, thank you for being here. Can't do a show without listeners, and so we're always so grateful when you guys join us for these programs, and look forward to seeing you around at the different social sites. If you have not already connected with me and with Tina over at LinkedIn, I encourage you to do that. I am Marnie Swedberg at LinkedIn, and she is Tina Yeager, YEAGER, and we would love to connect with you there. Also, have a brand new Godly Women Worldwide YouTube channel that it's been kind of stagnant for years and just growing it right now. So if you haven't checked that out, be sure to check that out at www.godlywomenworldwide.com. We'll take you to that YouTube channel, and you can subscribe and follow us there, as well as share that with others who may be encouraged by that. And also, for sure, just be looking forward to lots more great stuff coming. We're in summer right now, but fall is coming, and we're looking forward to an amazing fall, and just praying for your health and your safety, and that God would continue to use you for his glory and his honor. See you next time. Bye-bye.